Great. So good to be with you all. I'm just going to move this over here a little bit, if that's all right. Sorry, messing with the worship team stuff, but you know. Great. As has already been introduced, I'm Jim. I lead the North Devon House of Prayer, which may surprise you to find that it's in North Devon. It's in Barnstable, an hour up the road, and I didn't want to have anything to do with the prayer movement. That was part of my story. And so today, as I just want to share for a few minutes, my prayer is that we get to a point whereby what you leave here with is something that's helpful in your hands. And I'm a firm believer, if we read like Matthew 25 and we talk about just different verses, maybe even, you know, the story of the 10 virgins, it was quite clear that oil could not be transferred or given to another. You needed to have your own oil. And in the days that we're in, I believe it is essential we have our own oil. So what I'm going to share today, I pray will be a motivator. I pray it will encourage you. But unfortunately, I can't give you my oil. What I can do is encourage you to get your own. And that's what we're going to do today, amongst other things. Many of you have probably been Christians longer than I've been alive, so I always find it very humbling to come and speak in such environments, because like you guys have been doing it, many of you, a lot longer than I have. And so what right have I got to turn up and start telling you how you need to pray? But I would ask, I've been asking of the Lord, just that actually there's something that I will share that might be of help to you in your place, and also that you're then going to be used on and further in your journey. I sometimes find these things, that what I'm going to share with you, it's a bit like going to the gym. How many people have signed up to the gym in the new year? Over the years, how many people have got their New Year's resolution? I'm like, I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put my phone down a bit more. I'm not going to watch YouTube so much. I'm going to steer off Facebook. And then actually, as it transpires, what happens by the end of March? You're back watching YouTube. You're back into Facebook. You're doing all the stuff that you didn't really want to do, but it's like, oh. Now, the thing is that if we put some of this stuff into action, it's amazing what can actually happen. The challenge is that, are we going to believe it? Are we going to step into it? So my desire is that this becomes part of the fabric of your life, not just a quick touch paper that you like. It's not going to be a shot in the arm. It's like, no, I want to encourage you to build what I'm about to share into your lives. So when I started off as a Christian, I was the Bible guy. Mary was the prophetic one. And so every time anyone said, I had a dream, or I was like, talk to my wife. Yeah, she does all that stuff. Just give me a verse. And that was my very narrow. And I would guess when it came down to it, I was probably a bit fearful of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know, was he just like this cloud that moved around? But it was only very rapidly I started to realize, actually at a meeting here in Exeter, that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And so if we can be happy with Jesus, we can be happy with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, yes, he requires things of us, but actually, he understands our personality. He understands, you know, how he made you. So, you know, did you all get that Psalm 139, that every single person in this room was knitted together in their mother's womb? Do you understand that every single person in Exeter was knitted together in their mother's womb? The challenge is about whether we've said yes to God yet. But he already knitted you together. He already knows you more than you know yourselves. So I then start my Christian walk, and I'm like, I'm the Bible guy, as I say, and the next thing I start hearing stories of just, you know, miracles and different things happening, and I'm like, God, I'd love that to happen. I'd love that to happen through me, with me, being part of it, but I was like, oh, no, that can't happen. And very rapidly, I'm giving all the reasons why it can't happen when I should be going, well, everything's possible with a leaky pot, isn't it? You know, if you think of the story about Balaam's donkey, if you're going to handle with a donkey that's stubborn, then surely I stand a chance there somewhere. So I just think, you know, when we start being obedient, then things start to move on. So we're going to look at a few verses, but can we look at our personal lives first? Is that okay? This is the first slide I've put up. I'm going to jump around this a little bit. Can you make it any bigger? Is that possible, or is it too late for all that? If you can, okay. So the first one says, holy and set apart. Now, who in this room wants to see God move in your community? Raise a hand if you do. Okay, come on. Right, that's what I long to see too. But there's a reality that starts with me. It starts with us. And actually, there's a requirement for us to actually be holy and set apart. You know, if we look at 1 Peter 3, can we turn there for a moment? Is that possible? I know I'm putting you guys on the spot. Can you put verses up as well, or is it 1 Peter 3:10? Possible? You guys are like, man, I wish you'd told me. 1 Peter 3:10, let's have a look at that. If you've got a Bible, if you've got a phone near you, 1 Peter 3:10. We can start just before, to be honest, in verse 8. To sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For, here we go, the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit, and he must turn away from evil and do good. Okay, who's used their tongue for evil in the last week? Is there only four of us? Come on. Who's probably used words that they shouldn't have used? Who's perhaps judged a little bit too much? Who's been a bit too critical? Who's spoken into situations that weren't your place to do it? You kind of like, hello? So where do we start with that? Well, in my Bible, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about situations out there that we get involved in, but actually, that same principle starts with us first. So, unto the individual body, and then unto a community and a nation as well. It's the same deal. So, if there's stuff that's gone on in a nation, it's the same thing, 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, and he's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, are you holy and set apart? Now, even though you've still got struggles, it doesn't mean you stop trying to be holy. Hearing God's voice. I'm just going to be touching on this stuff because each one of these could easily be a day's conference. Ask him, I put here, ask him to teach you how to hear his voice. When he said to me, because I was like, I had a wife who was prophetic. She'd be like, or still is, she's like one step to the left and it was just like open heaven. And I'm like, man, how do you do that? And then the Lord said to me, why don't you ask me to teach you how I speak to you? I'm like, hallelujah. So the thing is, do you know God wants to help you? Do you know that he's the one that wants to help you walk out this Christian walk? You're not on your own in it. You're not the apple that is hanging on the tree going, oh, I've got to grow because the tree wants me to grow and I've got to grow. And I'm like, no, 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 no. The job of the apple is to hang on the tree and be connected. So if you can't hear God's voice, and if you've ever said, I can't hear God's voice, there's a few quick strategies for you. The first one, open the Bible, start reading anywhere, but start reading maybe Psalm 1, and don't stop reading until he speaks, until the words jump off the page, and be tenacious enough to keep going, because he will speak. The next thing, ask him, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me? And then just sit and listen. We the other day had a situation where somebody said, oh, we think you're meant to have our dog. And I'm like, oh, man. Now, if you understand our situation, we were homeless when we brought the prayer room, or we brought the prayer room, and then immediately within 48 hours, I was taken seriously ill, was in hospital with a failed appendix, sepsis, peritonitis. Jesus stood and held me dead at the end of the hospital bed. It was like, this is looking serious. People prayed. I came out of hospital, was readmitted 3 times in total. And what was interesting is that we just brought the prayer room, only just, and it was miraculous, absolutely no doubt. Plenty of stories there. Immediately after, I get back to my feet in the, that was July, I get back to my feet in the October to then go and watch my father pass away in the Midlands. While I'm there, I lead the head of the heart failure team to Jesus. She was into all sorts of spiritual activity, and she actually found the Holy Spirit for the first time. She gave her life to Jesus. And then get back from that, and then we get made homeless. We had an infestation of rats in our house. And we moved house 21 times in 2 years. It was just like, it was full on. But in these times, you have a choice to take hold of him and go, well, where else am I going to go? Like, there's many of you in this room who've been through tough seasons, maybe are still going through tough seasons. I've got some words for a couple of people later that will come on to that. But, you know, are we looking to hear his voice? And in the process, I mean, even just, as I say, a few weeks ago. So we end up homeless, and the next thing, long story short, we've ended up somebody was driving past a farm, a for sale sign was going up. This was 4.5 years ago. As they were driving past, the Lord says to them, that's for Jim and Mary. And we'd been looking at houses in Faith. While we were on holiday with nowhere to live in Cornwall, somebody walked up to me and handed me £25,000, say the note saying this is towards your new home. Then we didn't tell anyone of our need. We just kept going. We're leading the prayer room. So many times, Mary would be like, when are you going to be home? I'm like, I'm nearly home. She's like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm nearly at Instow. She's like, we don't live at Instow anymore. We now live in Lanky. I have to turn the car around, or then in Ilfracombe. We'd moved house so many times, I'd leave the prayer room on autopilot and drive to the wrong house. Fortunately, I didn't get as far as knocking the door. But, you know, these things, then next thing the girls start, we end up giving a farm. So the Lord made a way. The mortgage company doubled what they were offering us, and it was through an accountant. It was just amazing, just a God story. Next thing you know, I'm like, the girls are like, Dad, can I have a pony? And I'm like, oh, I knew this was coming. And the problem is, because you then got land, it's very difficult to kind of go, no, not possible. And the fact that we'd had to ship all their toys, we gave their toys away. You know, and every time we're in a new house, it was like they're in other bedrooms, and then the next family would come in to come and look around the property. Sometimes it was a vicar that was then coming to the town, and we were staying in that mace or vicarage, and their kids would come and look around our kids' bedrooms, and it was just like, my kids were like, Dad, this hurts. And I'm like, I get it. I was like, but watch, Jesus is going to do some amazing things for us. We just got to hold on to him. This just makes me cry if I'm not careful. Might happen, might not. But the thing is that a few weeks ago, so a couple of years ago, my oldest daughter Esther, she was 10 at the time, she's like, Dad, can I have a pony? And I'm like, well, let's see, let's pray. So we start praying. Next thing, some friends had been looking after a pony, and they said, oh, you don't want to take on this pony, do you? We can't have it anymore. So the lady that owned it, I was like, I was fasting and praying. I'm like, will you? She said, I need to meet you if you're going to have this horse, because I want to see if, you know, it's the right fit. So she comes, I'm fasting. She turns up, I was like, Lord, if it's our pony, let it be easy, and let it just be you be all over it, because if it's not ours, we don't want it. So I was just like, next thing you know, she turns up. She stood outside the stables with me, and she said, you know what? I like you guys. She said, I tell you what, you can have the horse. I'm like, what? So we end up with one pony. Then the other daughter a little while later is like, Dad, we can't both ride the same horse. And I'm like, I get it. So then she's praying for a pony. Anyway, the Holy Spirit told her, ask me for £920. So she asked, knelt down next to the bed with Mary, you know, 10 years old, kneels down next to the bed, Holy Spirit asked for £920. And we'd seen this animal, but it was just like, we weren't sure, so this was going to be the confirmation if we're going that way. Next thing you know, 12 hours later, tax rebate comes through that we're not expecting, £920, bang on the nose. You're like, what do we say then? Oh no, you can't have it. So, you know, long story short, the Lord has just built and built and built. Everything's been a step of faith. Pigs. Oh, Lord, can we have pigs? I go and see this guy with pigs. He's like, oh, just have them. I'm like, just have them. Who gets given pigs? Somebody else gave us sheep for Christmas. You couldn't write it, honestly. So I've got 2 horses, 2 pigs. I've got 15 sheep. I've got 6 ducks, 20 chickens, and 5 free-range children. And so then when somebody else goes, do you want a dog? I'm like, no, I don't want a dog. But the problem is you go, no, I don't want a dog. And you're like, oh. So now we've got a dog. I'm like, Lord, I know what figure the dog is. We need at least £300. I'm like, how's this going to work? Next thing you know, somebody says, that dog. I've just been thinking about a dog and you. Can I give you 200 quid towards the dog? Somebody else then, Mary, who's walking upstairs. She's like, and the Lord says to her, there's a particular couple that are about to wire £100 into your bank account, and it's the remaining money for the dog. The dog's from me. Mary turns around upstairs, starts walking down the stairs, checks the bank on a phone as you can these days. And literally, at the moment the Lord said it, £100 from the exact couple that he told her. Like, why are we surprised? If God said it, the challenge is hearing him and understanding. I mean, we can carry on and on and on this, so I've got to move on. But the whole thing about hearing God's voice, you can hear God's voice. Every single one of us. This isn't just a Jim and an Aaron. And like many of you can hear his voice. And if you can't, You need to be able to, and you've got to just ask him questions. If you look on, you're like, oh, well, visiting speaker, and da-da-da. In my head, I'm constantly going, Lord, what do you want to say now? What now, Lord? What now, Lord? What now? I tell you, never mind the 10-year plan. I'm just like, I'm going for 3 minutes. I'm just like, Lord, what's next? What do you want me to say? What story do you want me to share this morning? What's the next bit? Where are we going? How's it going to work? Which route do you want me to even take today? I've had it again and again and again. I leave the prayer and the Lord's like, go right. And I'm like, oh, okay. I go right and he's like, go left. You go left. And he said, go right again. You turn right. All of a sudden, there's a guy with an epileptic fit lying in the road. I was like, whoa. So I'm like putting him back together. And then two police officers turn up and they're like, Jim, what are you doing here? I'm like, long story. I'm like, you know, this is the stuff that God wants to use Christians for, to be his hands and feet. And he wants to use you. So let's move on from that bit. Is prayer in your life a priority? Okay. And I want to challenge your motivation. I'm going to be quite candid. Let's move on very, very quickly through this. Motivation is key. Okay. A friend of mine here, Sim, has got kids. If his kids constantly come to him and go, Dad, can I have some more money? Dad, can I have this? Dad, can I have that? Dad, can I have the other? But they never sit on the sofa and give him a hug. Very rapidly, all he is a bank. That's not relationship. That's constantly you're going for something. Okay? Actually, if we come to Father God in the same way, I'm like, not just to because what I want, God, what I need, God, what I need, God. It's just like, no. I love you and you're worthy of it all. I'm like, that's the motivation. And then watch what he does. You come with your empty cup. You're like, God, I've got nothing to give you, but you're amazing. And all of a sudden he pours in and it overflows in every direction, even in situations you're not expecting or thinking about. Okay, so not in a heavy way, but is prayer a priority? Do you know his word? Because whatever he's going to say to you will not contradict his word, ever. Ever. This is the plumb line. So whenever he speaks, it's always going to line up. Now, here's a key verse that we have come to stand by and we use all the time because it's very easy for us to start in the spirit and finish in the flesh. Do you know what I mean? It's easy to start the right way and then end up off. And so I just want you to really get your heads around this one. Proverbs 15:22. Turn to somebody next to you and say Proverbs 15:22. Okay, it says this, with a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. With a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. When we as a leadership team at the House of Prayer are making a decision, we put it to the leadership team, we put it to our trusted friends, and we're like, what do you think? 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 And they'll be like, and now pray about it. And they're like, pray about it. I'm like, yeah, right now. Now, we're a little bit British, aren't we? And we don't like to like, oh, this is awkward. This is a bit embarrassing. I'm like, come on, let's ask him. So close your eyes. So we all close our eyes. Jesus, Jesus, do you want us to go to this country? Do you want us to go to this? What do you get? Yes, 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 no, no, no. Oh, let's take that back then. Okay, Jesus, do you want us to go to this country? Jesus, do you want us to? We're all saying it out loud. Easy. Yes, 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 yes. You're like, oh, wow. I can give you story after story after story. But with a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. It saves you getting off. Keep it right and central. And if you haven't got those people around you, ask Jesus for them. And then go and speak to somebody in leadership and go, I want somebody to disciple me. I want somebody who's going to cheer me on. I want to help make right decisions. The next thing we're about to talk about as we move into some of these stories is about faith. Now, I'll tell you quite often with faith, I don't feel faith very often. All I know is that the nature of the way I roll, I'm just going to keep pushing doors until something opens. And then it'll be evident the Lord's on it. So, one example. 15th of May 2022. Is that right? Bike ride. So, the Lord had said to me in the preceding months, he said, I want you to do a prayer assignment going across the UK from Land's End to John O'Groats. I'm like, oh, okay. Now, riding a bike is no new thing to me, so that's fine. I used to race bikes, and so, you know, it's not like he's asking me to get on a horse and do it. So it wasn't, do you know what I mean? Or walk with a dog. I'm just like, I get it. So I know what I need to do. My background has been outdoor sports, so I already know, you know, largely how to bivvy out somewhere. I know how to make a fire. I know how to use a stove. I know, like, that stuff's not a problem. It doesn't keep me up at night. But the Lord said, I want you to ride from Land's End to Johnny Groats. I'm like, okay, as a prayer assignment. Now, what was interesting is that a number of places where I had friends, I tried to connect, and the Lord cancelled every appointment. And I'm like, oh. He said, this isn't about a speaking engagement. It's not a speaking tour. He's like, this is about me and meeting me in different places to pray and intercede for what's going on in the nation. Now, many days, I'd be riding 50, 80 miles a day. There'd be nobody there. You'd be out going across Dartmoor. I mean, I got one video of me in Princetown, and every day I just type a blog, didn't put it on Facebook or social media, didn't need to be big lights. It was just like for those that needed to know, and other than that, it was unto the Lord. Going across Princetown, I was like, I'm just going to record a video just to show people like what it might be like on an odd day. I may as well be stood there going, and the wind's like, and you're just like, man, just can't, you couldn't hear me at all. And it was the same going across the Outer Hebrides. But some of the connections that God made along the way, did I feel it? No. I was just being obedient. You know, I got on one boat to go to the Outer Hebrides. I don't know if any of you have been up to the north of Scotland. But like you go from Oban, it's 5.5 hours out into the Atlantic. And there's this Brummy guy next to me with his wife. And I used to live in the West Midlands. So I'm like, as soon as I hear his wife, he says to his wife, do you want a cup of tea? And I was like, I know where you're from. And he's like, oh, go on then. And I said, you're from Smethwick. And he goes, I am. And I said, go on then. I said, what road in Smethwick? And he said, I'm from Cape Hill. And I said, well, I used to live in Cape Hill. I said, when I joined West Midlands Police as a cadet, that's where we used to live. And he's like, he said, do you used to live in Windmill House? I said, yeah. He said, I was across the road. That's where I was brought up. Anyway, so we got talking. But again, I'd not felt faith. I was just being obedient. And my day-to-day, I was like, Lord, I've given you today. I'm going to start moving. Proverbs 16:9 says, man makes plans in his heart, but the Lord directs his steps. I'm just inviting you to steer the day. Same as you guys can do. So this guy starts talking and he turns to his wife. He said, can I tell him? I'm like, yeah, you can tell him. And they'd had a family bereavement that was pretty serious. And then they'd been to all sorts of different spiritual activities to try and reconnect with this family member. And I'm sat there, and the Lord's just like, tell him about me. I said, have you, and by the time I said, have you, he's already crying. I've not even said the name of Jesus. I've not even said Holy Spirit. I've not pushed anything. I'm just like, look, I'm being really gentle. I'm like, I said, have you considered Jesus? And he's like, what? So he's a great big burly builder, and his wife, they're both just sat there. And I'm just like, Holy Spirit, you're on something here, but I can't really tell what it is, but I'm just going to carry on. There was nobody on the boat. It would normally be packed. There was nobody there. I was just like, okay, Lord. Next thing you know, get to pray for them, and then we say our goodbyes, carry on the way, no problem. 2 days later, I pull into one of the next towns further north, because I don't know if you know the Outer Hebrides. You're like, you're way out into the Atlantic, and there's like five boats you've got to take to get across the islands. And the next place I got to, the boat had been cancelled. And as I pull into this little port to try and find a fishing boat, it's this guy wearing this bright orange jacket, and he's like, you're the bloke off the boat. And I was like, whoa, easy, Tiger. I'm like, what's going on? And he said, I was sat behind you. He said, I heard every word you said to that couple. And he said, I'm a backslidden believer. He said, I used to walk with Jesus and I was in the Church of Scotland, but I got hurt. He said, how do I get right with God? I'm like, again, just an opportunity to pray, just being positioned in the right place. But what's the prayer in the morning? God, put me where you want me today. Put me where you, it's dead easy, guys. It's dead easy. The challenge is just saying it and then believing it and also being ready to be a little bit awkward. Because we don't like awkward very much, do we? We avoid awkward. But actually, you know, I mean, I remember being on a cycle trail near Bridgewater, and there was a group of kids who were mitching off school, and you got any weed? I'm like, I think you're talking to the wrong man there, but you're like, have this opportunity to just cheer these kids on and call forth their destiny and just prophesy over them, you know, and it's awkward because they're like, they're not used to it, but you're just like, come on guys, God's real, he's not stopped working. So I can talk a lot about testing God's word and what, not his word, but, you know, the audible voice of God and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just like, Proverbs 15:22, the multitude of counselors' wisdom. And then can I also just suggest something? There's people in this room who've had a particular thing, place. Maybe some of you see things geographically, where all of a sudden, has anyone got this, where actually all of a sudden you'll be either praying or just going about your business and you'll see a road junction or a place or a situation? Anyone had that happen? Yeah, some hands, yeah. Good. So don't ignore that. I believe that's God speaking to you. I've had that many times where all of a sudden I have a particular place on my heart. I won't really know why or what, but I'm then praying for that place and whatever. It might be a road junction, might be just safety that you're praying there. It could be somebody that you need to speak to there. I've had situations where I then go on through and I end up at that place. I'm like, wow, this was the place that I saw, but I didn't know I'd seen. Do you know what I mean? When you're getting this stuff, can I encourage you? We encourage you and then encourage. It's not the best sentences in the world, is it? But I think you'll bear with me. When you're sensing something, Aaron, what I'm sensing is not thus saith the Lord, Aaron. Because as soon as you approach anyone about something else and you say, God said, the person listening has got two choices. They're going to agree or disagree with you. And actually, it's much nicer to come in humility going, Aaron, so what I'm sensing is the Lord wants me to go to John O'Groats and ride a bike down the east coast of the country. Will you weigh it for me? Can you talk to the leadership? And the thing is, I'm open to then that thing being right or wrong. Like, I'm not going, well, I'm not talking to him anymore and I'm leaving that church because he wouldn't bless my idea. That is just rubbish. All right? It's rubbish. You've got to get over yourselves. But, like, I can hear incorrectly because my flesh is involved. We see through a mirror dimly, as it tells us in the scriptures. So what we need to do is, like, what I'm sensing is. So just, can you just say that? What I'm sensing is. It's a much healthier way to bring something. The same if you've got a word. You're like, oh, I've just been praying for you, and what I'm sensing is. Because then they've got an opportunity to just go, no, not feeling that. Or they've got an opportunity to go, yeah, I'm with that. You know, otherwise you're just like, well, God said. I'm like, well, where are you going to go with that? You know, I say that you're going to go to this other country and you're going to, it's just like all of a sudden people's lives get messed with for no reason when actually all it is what I'm sensing is. Okay. Even locally, the Lord started talking to me. So you've heard God speak. Can we go on? So you've heard God. You've spoken to somebody in leadership, or you've spoken to friends, you've a house group, maybe people from across other churches that are like, I just keep getting this thing for Exeter. We need to go and pray about the university, or we need to go and do this, or we need to go and do that. It's just like, okay, so sit down and see if there is just that witness. There's other people that agree and are sensing the same thing. Is there an agreement? Because the scripture tells us in Matthew 18:19, that where there's agreement, it breaks the yoke. So the thing is, are you in agreement with somebody, or is it just something that you want to happen? Because I'm not interested in praying my prayers. I want to pray his prayers in line with his will, and I want to agree with somebody else about it, because then it's going to break what's going to go on. So I'm asking questions all the time. Who, what, where, when? Am I in the right place doing the right thing at the right time? I'm like, Lord, your timing. I remember being out, this was just in North Devon, and the Lord said, as I'm riding my bike down the back lane, I'm not thinking particularly about anything Christian, and all of a sudden he says, stop and lay your hands on that building. And I'm like, what? So I'm like, I look up and down the road, I'm in the back lane, there's nobody to be seen. I'm like, quick, jump off my bike, I'm almost like recycling gear, put my bike up against the wall, he's out, now lay hands on it and pray it into the kingdom. That's all I did. I'm like, looks a bit weird, doesn't it? But I'm like, put my hands on the wall. In the name of Jesus, we command this building to come into the kingdom. Did I feel anything? No. Did I sense anything? No. Did anyone come and open the window like, take your hands off my wall? Nothing. But you leave it. You don't need to mess with it. Just, was I obedient for what he'd said? Yes. And then from that, 6 weeks later, all of a sudden it comes on the local jungle drums. Two families have brought this building. And I'm like, oh, yeah, where's that? And they start describing it. And I'm like, wouldn't you know, it's exactly the building I lay hands on 6 weeks before has now come into the kingdom. It's been used as a retreat centre and to cheer people on. I'm like, hallelujah. What's the most exciting thing? Nobody knows. And I'm not about to tell you where it is. Nobody's about to join the dots. Come on. This is where it gets exciting. We've been used many times to go and pray on the ground in particular places. Can you just turn to Isaiah 24 for me quickly? Isaiah 24, verse 5, says this. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgress laws, violated statutes, broken everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. It goes on about, but it's the sin of the people that corrupts the earth. Do you see that when we go to these places and we stand on the ground for prayer assignments, yeah? The thing is, you need to be asking God, what has gone on in this place? What's not in line with you? Not what is not where it needs to be? Because God wants to bring it into a place where He is again worshipped in that place. We've had times when the Lord's taken us to Northern Ireland, and I'm like, Lord, how in the world do I deal with all that goes on here when we come to pray? Do you know what He said? He said, raise a hallelujah. It's like worship. Worship and prayer are not in the boxes that we see them as. Like, what is worship? It's singing your prayers to Jesus. You start singing, it's going to start changing nations. The key thing for some of us is to stop procrastinating and get our boots on the ground. Now, your calling might be to your street. And we've all got different callings. Every single person in this room has a calling. The challenge is to be, what is it? So you need to ask Him. And if you're unsure, get a journal and start writing down what you sense God saying to you. It doesn't just what you sense. And as you do, there'll be a thread that will start to run through all the stuff that you're writing over a period of time. And you'll realize, because cream rises to the top, it's like, that's what I'm called to. Your thing might be prayer walking, Exeter. It might be the university. It might be educational establishments. It might be for the nation. It might be for the Southwest. But it's like, what is your thing? And then do it. Don't just hear it and go, I'm going to file that in the too hard tray over here. Don't really know what to do with that. No. Just start getting your boots on the ground. When I was I was running Creation Fest many years ago. And when we were doing that, then the Lord then called us across to the prayer movement. And I was pretty stubborn and didn't want to be stuck in a prayer room. So He gave me 10 separate confirmations in a month. And in those 10 separate confirmations, one of them, I was stood on top of a wall, walking along a wall, and the wall was about 6 feet high and about 3 foot wide. And I was walking along the wall in this dream, and I had a sword in my hand, and snakes were trying to go through the wall, and I was chopping the heads off as I was walking along the wall. Now, for a guy that was in events, that was totally irrelevant. But it was quite clear the grace was lifting off the air of my life, and I wasn't really willing to come across. But as I yielded and went, God, I'll do the prayer room. You know, friends would ring me. Any fruit? No. Anyone saved? No. Any money? No. Do you want to come back? No. Two of us sat in a prayer room. Just like, God, we're putting You first. We're just building an altar to You. Wouldn't you know? He then said, I want you to walk the North Devon boundary. So we start. I'm like, Lord, where do You want me to start? He's like, no, You pick a spot. So I work out where the boundary is, go to the top near Linton Lymouth, start walking down across Exmoor. About 3 weeks in, all of a sudden, when you know, the path pops up on top of the wall, 6 feet high, 3 feet wide. I'm walking across the top of the wall. I'm like, I've been here before. I just start weeping. Like, God had gone before me and made a way. He cares about the land. And the thing is, if the land is defiled, how are you going to see revival on it? How are you going to see churches established? How are you going to see this stuff take place? 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. It's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. righteousness. So what have you been called to?